This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. Later this hour, we're going to sit down with a local packaging development and design engineer and a self-described citizen scientist in the world of plastics to explore some of the novel ways people are trying to reduce plastic use and make plastics using what are called biopolymers that can be biodegradable in the environment, among other things. But first, last September, that is, the director of the Mission Aransas National Estuarine Research Reserve in Port Aransas, Texas, was walking along the beach when he came across a disturbing find. Millions of tiny plastic pellets had washed ashore. He'd stumbled across an apparent nurdle spill. Nurdles are tiny plastic pellets that are used as the base material for the manufacture of other plastic products. He estimated there were about a million nurdles per mile, and they stretched for more than 30 miles. So after asking around and discovering there was nobody really monitoring for this, he initiated a citizen science initiative called the Nurdle Patrol to get help from everyday people to not only remove as many as possible from the beaches, but to collect data so researchers know where they've wound up and how such a spill might be distributed by natural currents. Joining me now to learn more is that man. Jace Tunnell is director of the Mission Aransas National Estuarine Research Reserve. Jace, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And I'm also joined by Maya Burke. She is Science Policy Coordinator with the Tampa Bay Estuary Program and a volunteer nurdle hunter. Maya, thanks for being with us as well.
I'm excited to be here.
And as always, we invite you to join our conversation. Have you been on the search for nurdles? Would you like to find out how to be? Give us a call. The number is 877-428-8255. That is 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Jace, let's start with you. Just talk about that day and how you came across it and what it was like.
Yeah, so after work, I had just gone down to the beach and looked right at the waterline, and I'm always looking for shells and things like that, but on this particular day, I looked at the high tide line, and there was these little tiny plastic pellets, I mean, as far as you could see. So I bent down, picked one up, and I knew exactly what it was when I got it, and they were nurdles, just millions of them. And so I immediately called the Coast Guard, and they sent somebody out from the state, and they took samples and stuff, and they ended up coming back saying that they didn't know what to do, and they didn't know how they could even clean it up. And so that's when we said, well, we got to start monitoring. You know, how far has this gone, and how long are they going to be around?
Were nurdles something that were already part of your world? I mean, you didn't have to, like, Google them. You were like, oh, that's a nurdle?
Yeah, I'd actually done some plastics work over the last few years, but we never found that many of them. And maybe it was because we weren't looking, I don't know. But this particular day, there were so many of them, there's no way you could pass them up.
Is there a lot of shipping in that part of the Gulf? Is that sort of maybe speculative, but how such a large number of them might have wound up on the beach that something maybe fell off a boat or something like that?
That's initially what the state agencies were telling me, but based on some of the data we're finding, you know, these really high concentrations are up in the bay systems that have the manufacturers there. And so that kind of discounts it coming from, you know, another country or offshore from a ship or anything like that.
Oh, so there are nurdle manufacturers in that part of the world.
In Texas, I've mapped out where the manufacturers are for the nurdles in the Gulf of Mexico, and the highest concentration of the manufacturers are in Texas.
Is it possible to reverse engineer where they came from by doing some science, or are they all kind of a nurdle is a nurdle is a nurdle?
I've been told different things. I actually had a manufacturer come up to me and ask me to collect some samples on the beach, and he told me that they could tell if they made them or not, just based on the size and the shape. And then I've had other folks tell me that it's proprietary information on the chemical makeup of certain nurdles, and so some of those can be traced back to the manufacturer.
So describe what these things are, what they look like, how big they are for somebody who hasn't seen one, you know, just for the radio listener.
They can be different colors. The majority of the ones that we're finding are opaque, kind of whitish, and they're the size of a lentil. And how you tell the difference between these and something that's natural, like a seed or a sargassum bulb, is if it's squishy and you can squish it or break it, then it's not a nurdle, because these are really hard. It's a resin product, and so it's real hard.
So you said you called the Coast Guard initially. What about, like, the Department of Environmental Protection? Are there any other agencies that might have been interested in this?
Well, so when you call the Coast Guard contacts the appropriate entity, depending on the type of spill and all that. And so for Texas, it was the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. And that was who I talked to at first. I ended up going up to Austin, so our capital here in Texas, and talking to a whole slew of federal and state agencies, giving them a presentation on what happened. And, you know, that's sort of what kind of spurred on the talking about, okay, this is what we're finding. What are the state agencies' roles going to be if there is another spill? Because by the time I went up to Austin, it had already been 2 weeks, and it's just like an oil spill. You know, if you don't get to it immediately, these things spread out, they get covered up, and in Texas we drive on the beach, so they actually get driven over.
Oh. So was there an initial effort that made any kind of progress to remove some of the millions that were there, or what happened?
No. So they finally said, there, you know, there's too many of them. We had actually got a storm surge after about 2 weeks from a storm that was coming in the Gulf. You know, this was a September time frame. And so that just washed these pellets all over from the high tide line that they were at all the way to the dunes and everywhere in between. So there really was, it would have been very difficult to clean them all up.
So talk about what instigated this idea to start a citizen science initiative. Is this something you've done before? Is this a whole new novel thing for you to be doing? Talk about that and how that process got underway.
Well, initially, so I live right on Mustang Island, which is only about an 18-mile island here in Texas, and I just wanted to know how long these things are around from that spill. You know, are they going to be around for a year, or and how far up did they go? But, you know, so I put it out on social media. Within a matter of hours, there was people all over the Gulf of Mexico, including Mexico, that were wanting to get involved and saying, hey, I want to know if we have them here, too. And so we said, okay, let's just do it Gulf-wide. And so now there's over 200 people collecting all the way from the Yucatan Peninsula and all the way down into Florida.
I described Maya as a nurdle hunter. Is that a correct term, or is there a correct term yet for what they're doing?
I think that's as good as any.
Okay, we'll get to you here just in a second, Maya, but let me remind our listeners, if you're just joining the show today, we're learning about a citizen science initiative called the Nurdle Patrol that's encouraging people along the Gulf Coast to spend a few minutes at the beach looking for tiny plastic pellets called nurdles that have been washing ashore since last year. And in my research for the show, I realized they've been washing ashore since a lot longer than last year. I'm joined by Jace Tunnell. He is director of the Mission Aransas National Estuarine Research Reserve in Port Aransas, Texas, and it's he who initiated the Nurdle Patrol. And I'm also joined by Maya Burke. She's science policy coordinator with the Tampa Bay Estuary Program and a volunteer nurdle hunter. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, give us a call now. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media and on Twitter at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Maya, when did you get involved in this process?
Well, Jace reached out to our organization, the Tampa Bay Estuary Program, earlier this year, back in, say, January or February, and we decided that it was something that we could help out with. We like to help our sister estuary programs throughout the country where we can, and we have a good track record of engaging the citizens and the community in these kind of citizen science efforts. So our plan was to start looking for a couple of months to kind of get an idea of a baseline of what folks could expect, and begin encouraging local residents throughout Southwest Florida to start looking for nurdles on their own as well.
And so have you been out on the beach yourself doing any of this hunting?
Yeah, I think I'm probably the staff person here for the estuary program that's been out the most often, but we've got several folks that have been out there as well. You know, just when I'm out at the beach or along the shore, if I've got a couple of minutes, I'll pull over, and 10 minutes at the beach is all it takes. So I've been looking for a few months. It was a couple months before I found any.
So you say 10 minutes at the beach. In order to try to make this somewhat scientific, are you trying to limit search periods to 10 minutes so you have some consistency across searches, or is that just about how long you're asking people to look?
So that's the methodology that the Jace's group has put together, and I think it's to be able to get a raw number for amount of time so that there's some comparability amongst the data.
Okay. So talk about, are you just walking and looking down? Are you looking closely? You know, be a little bit more specific about how you look for these things.
Yeah, they're, like Jay said, they're about the size of a lentil, so maybe half the size of your fingernail, your pinky fingernail. So they're very small, so you definitely need to get down close to see them. And I like to start pretty much at the waterline. I look to see where the seagrass has started to collect. We call that sort of the fresh tide line. And what we're doing is we're looking there to see if we can find any nurdles. If we find them there, it indicates potentially a more recent kind of spill event. But where I've found nurdles in Florida is up in that higher high tide line where the seagrass and the wrack is collected. And oftentimes that's where you tend to find a lot of other marine debris and trash as well.
So you're there in the Tampa Bay area. How many of these things are being found, and how many people do you have there that are looking for them, you know, that far away from where the spill was found that Jace found?
So to our knowledge, I've found the only two nurdles that have been discovered as part of this effort in the state of Florida. And I found those out over the Sunshine Skyway Bridge and the Causeway Beach over there. We've got maybe, you know, a few tens of people that are starting to look, but we're really kicking off the initiative right now. So we're still trying to gather more folks to help go out and hunt for nurdles and provide their data to Jace.
Gotcha. So let's talk a little bit about how harmful they can be or what makes them harmful. You know, are birds and animals eating them? Is that the danger, or is it they're going to break down into the microplastics that we're so concerned about? Maybe Jace answer that.
Oh yeah. We've known that animals have been eating these for decades now. The EPA came out with a report in 1992 looking at how nurdles are getting out into the environment and what the impacts are. And they have a list of over 80 species of shorebirds that are eating them, and they have documentation of every species of sea turtle eating them. And the real hazard with them is not only are they don't provide any nutritional value, so they could get clogged up into the gut and the animal could starve to death, but they also act like sponges for toxins like DDTs and PCBs and things like that. So if they eat enough of them, it could be lethal for the animal.
Gotcha. So they're like they're displacing room for real food, and they might actually have toxins in them.
Exactly.
You know, you're collaborating here with the Tampa Bay Estuary Program. Are there any other, you know, nonprofits or organizations or governmental agencies that are coming on board at this point?
Yeah, we're actually working with the Master Naturalist group. We've got a number of different universities, including a university down in Mexico, the Veracruz Sana University, and then Parlay is a nonprofit down in the Yucatan Peninsula, the King Tana Roe State. And so, you know, I think every month I put together a report and I list all the new partnerships that we have. And so every month since we've started, we've been adding new partners to that.
And this is all being coordinated through that Facebook group, right? I joined it yesterday, and it looks like it's pretty active. Looks like you've got quite a buzz going among people who are interacting and sharing their data and, you know, kind of getting excited about the process.
Oh, yeah. On a daily basis, people are posting pictures of what they find and where they found it. And some people are even making artwork out of the nurdles that they find. And people get real creative.
And how many people are in that Facebook group now?
There's over 1,000 people in there now, and so it's really taken off, which is exciting because, you know, the more data we have, the more we'll know, you know, where these might be coming from.
You know, and in the story that caught my attention about this, it was mentioned that even reporting not finding them is good because that's a data point. So I think that's a point that we need to drive home, right?
Exactly. If people go out and they search for 10 minutes or 20 minutes, and you know, we actually have a little video they can watch to see how to do the nurdle survey. And if they follow those protocols and they don't find any, they send us a zero. That it definitely is data, because that means there aren't any nurdles there, and so that helps to try to define where these things are coming from.
We're learning today about a citizen science initiative called the Nurdle Patrol. It's trying to enlist people along the Gulf Coast to spend some time at the beach, 10 minutes to be exact, searching for tiny plastic pellets that have been washing ashore after a presumed nurdle spill near Corpus Christi, Texas last September. I'm joined by the man who stumbled across that initial spill and who is coordinating the patrol. Jace Tunnell is director of the Mission Aransas National Estuarine Research Reserve in Port Aransas, Texas. I'm also joined by Maya Burke. She's a science policy coordinator with the Tampa Bay Estuary Program and is a volunteer nurdle hunter and coordinator. If you would like to add your voice to our discussion, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So, Jace, what's on the horizon for Nurdle Patrol? It looks like you guys are looking to maybe scale up and do a little bit more like with presentations and stuff like that.
Right. So what we have coming up in about a week and a half, we're going to be doing what we're calling the Nurdle Expedition. And so we'll be taking off, and we're doing presentations in almost every state, but we're doing every single day in every state, we're doing nurdle surveys with community members. So we have a list of different beaches we'll be at certain times that people can meet us there, and we'll spend, 10 to 20 minutes looking for nurdles and then move on to the next spot.
Go ahead. Keep going.
I would say one of the other exciting things that we're doing is we just purchased nurdlepatrol.com, and so that will be coming live, and people will be able to go to it to see all the data in a Google Earth type platform, and they can also enter their data in, so they'll be able to put their nurdle information in and be able to go to the map and see it automatically posted.
How does this data collect? How does this collected data help scientists? Can you just kind of characterize that? I think we've sort of touched on it, but talk just a little bit about how that works.
Yeah, well, I think that it's going to show over time concentrations of nurdles being found at certain beaches. So, are they coming up? Since we're looking at when they're coming up at the new high tide line, we should be able to say, oh, during these times of years, maybe it's because of currents or not, that we're getting more nurdles in, and the currents are traveling this direction. So possibly they're coming from, this particular area. But, what I think's even more important than scientists being able to use this data or whatever, I think it's the resource agencies being able to use the information of saying, look, our regulations might be lax in this particular area, and this is where we can improve on it. And so we'll have this data to be able to show if regulations are changed over time, you should see a reduction in the amount of nurdles coming up on our beaches.
And it seems to me, just as somebody out here in the world, that there's something about what you're doing, what these things are called, and how they wound up in the environment that is also just interesting to people in a way that is more concrete than just, oh, there's plastic everywhere in the environment. So in some ways, it almost seems like it has some resonance with people that might raise awareness about the need to handle plastic differently. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, people all the time are saying, man, this goes right to, we're always saying reduce our use in plastic or recycle and all this kind of stuff. I mean, I kind of think that trash we're seeing in the ocean is a little bit different than these multi-billion dollar companies allowing these things to get out into the environment. But it does hit home that, look, we need to reduce the use of our plastic in our daily lives.
Do you have a sense of how long it takes for one of these nurdles to break down? I mean, are we talking hundreds of years like most kinds of hard plastics?
Right, right. It'd be hundreds and hundreds of years. And it depends on the type of plastic, too. But the polyethylene pellets, which we're finding the most of, those probably don't ever break down. There are certain bacteria that eat different types of plastic and things like that, but there is research going into all that.
And so I think I know the answer to this, but this is plastics in water is something that has been on your radar for a long time. This isn't something you stumbled into because of this find, right?
Right. We've done trash accumulation rates here in Texas and compared those to around the Gulf, in other states and stuff like that. And so it turns out we actually have we have 10 times the amount of plastic coming up on Texas beaches than any other state in the Gulf of Mexico. And that's due to our currents. It's not due to the people throwing the trash on the ground here in Texas, but it's just to the currents pushing trash up on our beaches.
Okay, so what should somebody do if they want to get involved?
The easiest thing is they could go to our website, themissionaransis.org, and there's a big picture there that says Nurdle Patrol. Just click on that, and then it'll take you to all the newest maps and how to get involved. Or the other thing is most people are using social media now. So if they go to Facebook and type in Nurdle Patrol, just go there. It's a closed group so that, you know, people that aren't interested don't get inundated with Nurdle stuff. But if they're interested, click on that, and then I'll approve you, and then you can start posting all your survey data that you find.
All right. And Maya, before we go, when are you going to do your next search, and are there still people adding on to your effort there in Tampa?
Absolutely. We've just trained up our community advisory committee, so we expect some new Nurdlers to be hitting the beaches for the summertime. And I'll probably be at the beach this weekend, and so I'll be taking a peek for Nurdles.
Nurdlers. I like that. It's unfortunate that we have to talk about it, but at least it's a fun word to say. Any final thoughts, Maya?
We've been sampling for microplastics here in Tampa Bay and are really concerned about fragments and fibers and other things, but I think your point about Nurdles being sort of like the charismatic poster child for plastic pollution is a good one, and if this is what it takes to get people thinking, I'm all for it.
All right, and any final thoughts, Jace?
Well, I just appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
All right. That is all the time we have for this part of the show. I want to thank my guests. Jace Tunnell is director of the Mission Aransas National Estuarine Research Reserve in Port Aransas, Texas, and the main force behind the so-called Nurdle Patrol. Jace, thank you for your time. And Maya Burke is science policy coordinator with the Tampa Bay Estuary Program and is helping with the search for tiny plastic pellets called Nurdles. Maya, thanks to you as well.
Pleasure.
When we return, we're joined by a Cape Coral man who has spent his career as a packaging development and design engineer to broaden our conversation about the world of plastics, including a look at so-called biopolymers. They're made out of natural materials and are sometimes biodegradable. We'll learn more about that and more coming up. I'm Mike Canary. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.